The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall has five new models under $30,000, over 600 used cars under $20,000, and new cars priced under employee pricing. More cars, more value at Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey now, welcome to FitzDog Radio. It's Tuesday. I just interviewed Marilyn Ricecob, Marilyn Ricecake, from my podcast at the studio. We had a great time. That'll be on in just a moment. But I'm enjoying my sweatcito today. I show it off in the pod. I don't know how much we showed on the podcast because we walked away from the microphones. But given to me by a fine Canadian company. No ad. They're not paying me. I just want to say go to sweatcito.com. Pick one up. It's about $1.50. It's the best money you'll ever spend. If you buy one, take a picture, send it to me. I'll put it on the air. Want to remind you guys, Sunday Papers is every Sunday. Tell your friends and family about both podcasts. Spread the word. And what else? I've been on the road a lot. And here's what I'm getting a lot. I'm on stage and I talk about being from California. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but it merits saying again. People boo. People have a hatred for California. California represents something to a lot of the country, which you need to fucking get over. Let me just say that right out there. California is your friend. California helps you. Oh, there's crime. There's homeless people. Grow up. Every decent city has some crime. Keeps you on your toes. Don't be a pussy. What do you want to sit in a gated community in the suburb of some town that's a suburb of some city where you where there's open carry because you got to protect your life. You got to walk around with a gun in your gated community to protect your life. What life? Nothing happens. Protect your life. Take it. Take your life. Now that's a bit strong. I'm just saying, like, I feel alive. I live in Venice Beach. A little bit of crime. I look over my shoulder. I notice what's come along. There's adversity. There's some struggle. There's art. Real art. Spray painted on the sides of walls and splayed out on the boardwalk in front of hippies that may or may not be homeless. I think they may be homeless a couple nights a week. A couple couches. Maybe a motel here and there. But there's some art that's coming from somewhere. Not your beachfront down in fucking Costa Verde with the art, with a wave cresting, with a unicorn coming out of it and a rainbow in the background. That's not art. I want to see a Coke can that's been twisted into the shape of the devil and spray painted black with a Doors emblem on the side of it. That's art. Show me that. Screaming in the distance, some sirens, some helicopters. You know, you're going to bed, you hear some helicopters. You go, ooh, what's going on? Maybe it's close. Maybe something's going on. This is where I want to raise my kids. Kids learn how to deal with it. Learn how to take a public bus and walk past somebody who's dangerous and not look at them, but not look away. That's the key. That's what I taught them. You don't look them in the eye, but you don't look scared. They can take that anywhere. At the drum circle on Sundays, bunch of old hippies and hipsters and hip hoppers and tourists all in a circle. About 100 people with drums playing in some sort of syncopation. It's a little off, but people are dancing, sometimes topless, as the sun sets on a Sunday night over the ocean. And then that night, Sunday night, there's a gang of people that go around on beach cruisers with day glow streamers and lights. And they ride in a pack, about 100 of them, around Venice Beach through Santa Monica. And there's always one guy with, you know, dreadlocks, and he's got a bike trailer with a boombox playing P-Funk and a pit bull sitting there. A pit bull named Zephyr, who can hang, who's a good pit bull. But he can be a bad pit bull, too. Don't fuck with him. They get these waves that happen here in Venice Beach. They're phosphor. They call them phosphorus waves. And it's like a blue. And when anything trips up the water, there's a splash or anything, you get a black ocean at night that suddenly glows blue. And people surf at night. And you sit there and you take mushrooms and you watch a trail of blue blazing through the black. It's un-fucking believable. Old dudes on a longboard, 68-year-old guys on a longboard, riding waves. We're not a bunch of woke, this whole woke mob shit, that's not us. That's maybe in the universities it's like that, maybe in, you know, the mansions of Santa Monica, but that's not Venice. Venice Beach is fucking gritty and real. I'm tired of it getting a bad time. California in general, you got a ton of Latinos, good Latinos. Not like your Latinos who were docile and afraid of getting deported. These are three-generation Chicanos that run businesses. My son worked for them, their companies. Two different, one working at a soccer camp that these first-generation Mexicans started. Worked for them for your good fucking men. With good families. And these are guys that they're not taking the bus. They got 57 Chevys, Impalas, with fucking lowriders. And they throw parties that last for days. Yeah, they look ridiculous. Yeah, they're dressed like 12-year-olds with shorts that are too long and socks that are too high. But whatever. What's wrong with a neck tattoo? Oh, but LA's overpopulated. Yeah. You know why? Because you keep sending your stupid fucking kids here. All of your kids, they graduate college and they come out here to follow their dream. Good. Let them come out. But that's not. And then they end up homeless because they can't act and they can't sing. But they followed, say, fucking Simon Cowell told them to follow their dream. So they got on a fucking Greyhound and they came into Hollywood. And guess what? You weren't that good because you didn't live a life first. You lived in a fucking pillowcase. You never had any adversity. How are you going to be an artist? Come out here. With your fucking, you did Grease as a senior. You got to play fucking the John Travolta part. Who cares? And now you end up homeless. And the rest of the country goes, oh, all these Californians are homeless. No, your people are homeless. Get them off our fucking streets. We don't end up homeless. You know, we're a drain on the economy. No, guess what? Look on the internet, okay? Who gives more money to the federal government than California? There's a thing called a taker state and a thing called a giver state. Depending on if you take more from the federal government in subsidies than you give in taxes. And guess what? California gave $78 billion in surplus beyond what we took last year. The number one state for being a giver. So what the fuck are you talking about? Oh, about our immigrants. Yeah, our immigrants fucking pay taxes. Oh, our We got trans people reading books to kids. Oh, yeah, that's what we're all about. That's our identity. There's nothing else going on here, right? You like fast food? How about this? McDonald's, Jack in the Box, IHOP, Taco Bell, all from California. In-N-Out Burger. You don't believe me? Google it. Oh, yeah, Google. Also invented in California. You like wine? Oh, good. 80% of it is made right here in California. And if you drink too much of it, you can come here and go to rehab because we have the best rehabs in the country. One-stop shopping. You like the X Games? You like skateboarding? That was invented about a half a mile from my house. You like bottled water? Yeah, we give it to you. We don't even have a lot of water. We give you all the bottled water. We got, how about the Navy SEALs? You like those badasses? That's ours. Mexican food, the best. The best Mexicans, period. All the good Mexicans come through California. We got diversity. We got the best weather in the country. Best looking people. Don't look at me. I'm not a representative of this. But in general, I think we have the best looking people in the country. I mean, look, I'm a New Yorker. I love New York better than California. But as somebody who's been here for 25 years, I'm tired of the fucking hate. Look at, we give you all your TV, all your movies, all your apps. Uber, Lyft, everything. So ease up. That's all I'm saying. All right. Not in California. I got a buddy in Georgia, Frank Jackson, one of my best friends growing up. Fucking excellent human being. He just launched a coffee company, a coffee delivery service. And I want you guys to get behind him. Let's launch it. His company is just launching this week. The website is now up. It's called SleepyHollowCoffeeRoasters.com. He gave me a bunch of samples. This stuff is like the best coffee I've ever had. It's rich. You like the taste of fresh blueberries? That's the Katrina. There's a jolt of flavors with sweet nuttiness melting into rich dark chocolate. That's the Ichabod. Like Ichabod Crane from Sleepy Hollow. That's where we grew up. It's roasted fresh. He's got a whole process. He's been researching and practicing for a couple years. Now it's launched. I want you guys to get online right now. SleepyHollowCoffeeRoasters.com and try it out. If you do, you're going to get 15% off your entire order with promo code FITZDOG. And also orders over $50 ship free. There's memberships or whatever you call it, you know, subscriptions. You can do that, but try it out first. See what you think. Don't take my word for it. Do it yourself. SleepyHollowCoffeeRoasters.com, promo code FITZDOG, 15% off. Okay, get the Old Dutch. That's the other one I love. The Old Dutch. It's like a mocha Java. Oh, it's good. Some tour dates coming up. I will be in Escondido this weekend at the Grand Comedy Club. That's May 9th and 10th. I'll be in Cincinnati at the Commonwealth something, May 16th and 17th. Tickets on the website. Tampa, Side Splitters, June 5th through the 7th. One night in Naples, Florida, Off the Hook, June 8th. Then I'll be in Torrance, Austin, Texas, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, La Jolla, Vegas, Chicago, New Orleans. Go to FitzDog.com. Get some tickets. Check it out. There's also some new merch for the 5th anniversary of Sunday Papers. That's also on the website. My guest today, let's get to her. One of my dear friends. I love this interesting, complex, artistic person. You know her. She was on 24 for all those years. She was one of the main stars at 24. She's in Always Sunny in Philadelphia. She was on Mr. Show with Bob Odenkirk and David Cross. She was on Larry Sanders Show. She was a regular on all these shows. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Veronica's Closet. She was in Dude, Where's My Car? Sweet Home Alabama, Punch Drunk Love. How about Little Miss Sunshine? She was on King of Queens. She was on Legally Blonde 2. What else? She's done it all. She was on The Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt. Theranos. Anyway, you'll hear all about it now. Had a great hang with her. Always fun. Here is my guest, Marilyn Rice Cobb. Marilyn Rice Cake is my guest.
Gregory Fitzsimmons. Yeah, your special is great. And I really was just cramming it because I knew I was going to be here. Or else I think I would have watched it in one sitting. We were just talking about that. So funny, Greg.
Well, we're not here
you
to
fill the room, too.
I really appreciate you saying nice things about my special.
I know how to start a podcast.
And if you could say some nice things about my podcast, that would be great, too. You've been on it as much as anybody, I think. You've probably done this podcast 8, 9, 10 times.
You know, with the way that my brain works, it's like the first time every time.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
It kind of is the best because I feel like I know you. I know I'm going to enjoy talking to
you.
Yes,
I know. I've been looking forward to it. But you know what we need to do? Because this is pre-performance. You and I have certain rituals that we do.
We do.
To get in the right place, to get grounded. Let's do it.
No, we're going to stand up.
We're going to stand up.
Cactus. Stretch it out.
This one's the star. Oh my gosh, look, we're touching hands into the star.
And now tap it into the universe.
Oh, I was going to do... Oh,
okay. Oh, you got another one?
I was going to do a couple.
Okay.
We could do a couple more.
Yeah. Cactus.
I mean, this is honestly is so good.
This one is.
The tap it into the universe.
If people don't understand what this is, when something positive happens in your life, especially something that you put yourself out on, you took a risk, it worked, then you hug yourself and you tap it into the universe because this is what they call EMDR.
But we didn't even do anything yet and we're already congratulating ourselves.
You got here from your town.
Oh.
I'm not going to say what town you live in, but it's not close.
It's what am I doing?
You didn't know you were going to be starring in a new show that's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes in order to second
Cactus
season.
Star,
and you
could have
lived closer to Hollywood and not way the fuck out wherever you are.
life
is provident.
I'm sure I've told you at some point why I moved out there. It was smart.
Yes.
I made some smooth moves.
Yes.
I went from Encino way out to the West Valley during COVID.
Yeah.
Made some cash.
You did make some cash. Well, here's the thing about you. Life has worked out well for you. And sometimes I go like, Marilyn is making it in 8 different ways.
She's got to.
By the way, can I get some feedback on the suit? You want to touch it?
I do. I like how it has one thin green stripe. You're rocking it.
It's called a sweatsito, and it's made by this guy in Canada.
Shower shoes?
Shower shoes. All right, that's enough.
That's a custom.
It's a sweatsito. Oh. I just realized we weren't on mic that whole time, but that's all right.
We care.
Yeah.
We care. Let's get on mic.
So listen, you're on this show. It's called North of North, and it is named that because it is literally in the Antarctic. It is way, way up there.
It's way up there.
Yeah, and you are playing a kind of a Karen character in it.
Yes.
Which is so unlike you because you're the opposite of a Karen.
Thank you for saying that.
Do you ever have Karen moments?
Are you being
sarcastic? No, I don't see you exploding at people.
I don't. I do it internally. I explode internally.
Yeah.
And I explode on stage, which is why it's so good for me.
Right.
We're very different people, but we have some similar intersections of depression. That's why this works so well.
Yeah.
To transition from internal to external.
Right, right.
performing has taught me to be aggressive.
Yeah.
You were already aggressive.
Yeah, I was always aggressive. But I think a lot of that was overcoming my size. You know, I'm only 5'7¾". And I grew up 115 pounds. And so I always was intimidated by other guys.
You just fought your way out.
So I just made up for it by being super aggressive. I was the annoying little dog.
Yeah.
And I used to fight. I used to get into fist fights.
I remember this.
Yeah.
About you.
Well, with women, Asian women. Mostly.
Only.
Exclusively.
Try me. I never got into fights. I always did the...
You never got in a fight in your whole life?
Not really. No, I got punched in the face once.
No.
I fantasized about fighting people. That's the thing. I was always trying to do the right thing. I was trying to not show what I felt ever. Yeah. Trying to react.
Yeah.
Be good. And so stand up.
What was the punch
is,
in the face?
In high school... I was on the bus sitting by the window with two people next to me and she sucker punched me and left. Why? Because I made fun of her.
Oh.
One of the rare times I let it out.
Yeah,
you know, it was in me. I just tried to hold it in.
Do you
sometimes
remember what you said
seep
about
out
her?
And then I get punched in the... I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think it was very clever. I think I was making fun of her eye makeup. I don't even remember what the... Here's what a... I was making fun of her because she was making fun of the teacher and he was old and he was feeble and I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
And then she got her gang of misfits to come after me.
Yeah.
You better watch it. It was one of those. You better watch it after school. So
that's
all day
worst.
You're just
all
like,
all day
like,
you're waiting. Oh,
so
it's
I got
almost
one
worse
of those.
Than the punch in the face.
It is.
Yeah.
And I got to go right home after the punch in the face because I had to sit on the bus for a couple minutes because her stop was just before mine.
Uh-huh.
I just sat there with the hot, embarrassed tears of humiliation.
It is humiliating because you didn't hit her back, but you really couldn't. You were tucked in on that third seat by the window.
Yeah, and then I was steaming about how just cowardly that was of her to punch me like that.
Yeah. I remember once I was walking through Times Square. I was like... maybe 12 or 13 years old. We used to go down and walk around Times Square during the day and just, you know, get high and make fun of people. And I'm walking past this guy and he's kind of like, he's an indigent kind of a guy and greasy and he's hacking coughing.
Yeah.
And so I do a hack cough to make fun of him in front of my friends. And he fucking hauls off and cracks me across the jaw.
Oh my God.
And again, I was a little kid and this guy was nuts. And
that's
so I didn't say anything. And then what's worse is my friends just fucking laughed at me for like 5 minutes. There's nothing worse than an unanswered punch.
Yeah.
You got to punch back. You got to punch back.
Yeah. I never, but yes. But the TV show is fantastic.
All right. Let's transition back to the TV show.
Yeah. I'm done. I don't have any more punching stories.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I could tell you about bleeding through my pants. I don't have to transition out of other humiliating moments. Yeah. We don't.
Was that your first period that happened?
Not the very first one, but it was around the first time. You don't know how much the flow is going to be.
Yeah.
Standing up and it's like in the seat.
Ooh.
I think I had a sweater to tie
in class
around. In class.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that funny how remember those times, those, and right now it's just like it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But it takes all living all this life, but at that time when it's the first, you're just like it's just humiliating.
Yeah.
To be alive.
Right.
And to have a period is humiliating.
Oh, my God. Men get off easy. Well, we get off easy at that age also. But, you know, we don't have to deal with childbirth, menstrual. My wife is going through the menopause thing now where her temperature, you know, sleeping in bed with her, it's like being in a crock pot.
Yeah.
It's just all of a sudden I get hot.
Yeah.
She's so hot.
Yeah.
Look at me making it about me.
Yeah. You're by proxy hotness. Poor me.
I know.
Having to sleep next to her.
And then
I'm trying to face out because I don't brush the back of my hair. That's why I have like my shower shoes. Yeah. And then I want, you know, I want to face forward. Because
you like the set? Isn't it nice?
It's really
see
pretty.
The top right? Doesn't that look good?
Yeah.
You look fantastic.
I do look really good. Yeah. Come on.
The clear glasses with the blonde hair.
Thanks. Just sit up.
Sit up nice.
Put makeup on.
Did you put makeup on
for the show?
Put some
earrings in.
Yeah.
Have to.
Paul, yeah, we're good.
I asked
we're good.
My...
We're good.
He wants to help make
I know,
it right.
I know, we're but just it's fine. It's fine.
Dicking around.
So, all right. So let's talk about the special a little bit. So I don't understand something. I can't stand cold. I know you grew up in Michigan, so you're pretty good with freezing.
Oh,
but
no.
This is a whole
no,
other
girl,
level.
You know, I've been in LA for...
Yeah.
And I live in the hottest... You know, you're this side is yeah. cooler. I live in West Valley, yeah. where it's at least 10, 12 degrees hotter.
Right.
Yeah, no, and there's nothing where I went to is 3 hours north, plane ride, 3 hours north of Ottawa, straight up.
Wow.
And there's no comparison to the cold that it was
yeah.
when I landed.
Yeah.
I took a breath and I was like, am I going to be okay?
Yeah. Did you did the moisture in your nose freeze?
You know
did
what?
Did you get that?
No.
No.
My friend went out with wet hair and it instantly froze.
Yeah.
But I got used to it.
Uh-huh.
I got used to it.
You did?
Well, I mean, I had issues because I'm very fair and, you know, I had like perpetually chapped lips uh-huh. after a while that I would just... And you do have to, that we had a long email of instructions of how to dress the layers. You know, you have to put the wool. I would wear like 3 or 4 pairs of pants to go walk to get.
You're like Kurt Cobain.
For, yeah. you know, to walk the 0.3 miles. And you would, yeah. they said you need like a neck cover thing and another scarf uh-huh. so that you have 2 layers of scarves because one of them is going to freeze over and then you want to have another one. And then
you know
for
what's
your,
so weird is the only other place you see women dress like that is in the desert where it's like 110 degrees.
What gives?
Sharia law.
Yeah, I practiced my own Sharia law. I said, just look at my eyes and wonder how hot this is.
Wonder about the undergarments.
Wonder about it. And your fingers, if you wear mittens only, your fingers can freeze together. So you want to do like a glove and a mitten.
Really?
Yeah. But then, you know, I was up there. There were certain days where you thought it was mild. Once I was used to it, where you think it's mild and yeah. then a wind will blow. And then you're like, oh, yeah. Lord, this is, we're done.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, sometimes it'll be deceiving because you sort of acclimate. And then the sun is bright. And, you know, I'm walking out with my jacket unzipped. And
what month of the year is this?
We started end of March and went to November. So when I got there, it was 20 below, and some of the crew had just been there, and I just missed a blizzard, like,
yeah.
next level.
So wait, March to November?
No, sorry. That's going to be what, because we just got picked up for season 2. It's up. It's probably will take place. Okay, I'm making stuff up. March, April, May, came back in June.
And so,
and by June, it was 30 degrees.
And the sunlight changed. In March, I guess you're not getting a lot of sunlight?
March was regular sunlight. And then okay. by the end, it was 24 hours.
So, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, we would go for bonfires after work because there's like the town and then there's a vast nothingness.
Yeah.
So you just drive a little bit and you're just surrounded by what. And we would have the, you know, put pallets on fire and they had a DJ out there. And then the sun would start
a
to
DJ?
Set. Yeah.
Where did they get the DJ?
It's an Arctic DJ, bro.
No way.
He's just, you know, making stuff out of ice.
Wow. And you can break dance. You can spin on your back like
that's
all
right.
day.
That's right. Conducting, making electricity.
Shit.
Using snow and ice.
Yeah, so you're raving. Everything's melting around you.
We're raving.
Yes.
But yeah, the sun would start to set around midnight or, and then it would start to come back up around 1.
Yeah.
So it just would never completely set and come back up. And I talked to some people from there, and they said your body never acclimates to that.
Yeah, right.
And there was some anecdote. There's no real story to it, but it just stuck in my mind about little kids that just throwing rocks like at 2 a.m. because they're just running around in the middle of the night. So people are sleeping. There's just little kids throwing rocks.
Right, right. I could see that. There was that other show about Alaska about the – oh, no, that wasn't Alaska. But the one about the – it was an Indian reservation. Reservation Dogs?
Yeah,
did you see that?
Kirk Fox was on it. I haven't watched it.
So good.
I heard it's so
good.
But
it was about
like
that. It was about like
– got to go home and watch
delinquent,
it.
Delinquent kids in a reservation.
But I'm so proud to be on our show. I play the white lady. I play Karen type. And – you know, my son had no problem believing that I could be a Karen type. I said, do you think I could play? Yes. I said, you could act like you're thinking about it a little bit. So I am a Karen type.
I think every mother is a Karen to this.
Yeah,
son.
I'm like, dude, you know you got the coolest mom in town.
Yeah,
so.
He does. He does. Does he ever know that? Are there moments where he sees you in a movie or a TV show and he goes, hey, mom. He's old enough to watch Mr. Show. I mean,
he is not interested.
Has he watched Mr. Show?
No. He hasn't watched 24.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We've
How old
watched
is he now?
This show.
17?
He's 16. 16. Yeah. He doesn't really. He watches TikTok and YouTube.
I would say some
of his friends are into movies and they'll turn him on to certain shows or movies. We
watch like,
Stranger Things together.
Sit down and watch 24 because then you're gonna have season two. You started
what
right.
What was the thing?
And
there
then
was...
you he will respect you so much more.
You know what happened one time? He came home. He goes, "Mom, were you in a movie called Punch Drunk Love?" And I was like, "Yeah, I was." His friend who's into movies told him.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. You might want to Google that and see.
Adam Sandler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, he's one of the best filmmakers ever.
Right,
and
right.
My son's just like, has no idea.
Did you date him?
Who?
PTA?
No.
No.
But thank you for thinking that.
Well, he dated all the cool chicks in Hollywood, you know?
Did I like that you think of me like that.
We
hung out together.
But back in the Largo days, you were in the inner circle of the cool kids, you know, Girls Guitar Club with Karen Kilgariff, which I would honestly, if you guys had gotten your shit together and promoted that and stayed with it.
The producer and you, it just came out.
It makes me angry because I really would watch it and I would be like, this is different than anything I've ever seen.
It was.
Your guys' talent in singing, your chemistry was so unique. And
it was like both of our strengths hit when we were together.
And it crushed. If people don't know, there was this at Largo in LA, which is this indie club. These guys during everybody up, Bob Odenkirk would be going up and Janine Garofalo would be going up and Margaret Cho and Paul F. Tompkins and Greg Barron. It was like a very cool show. And then you and Karen would get up with guitars and you were sort of like, it was folk with a bad attitude. And you would sing rock and roll songs sometimes. And you would always start the show with, for those about to rock, we salute you.
Yeah. It was a club for girls who were learning how to play guitar.
And you were the cool kids. It was like Sarah Silverman and you guys and Laura Keitlinger. You were like, you know. And what happened? What happened?
What happened? You know, things happen.
Now you're the cool mom.
Now I'm the cool mom.
Isn't it weird?
Who lives off the 118 off Topanga. Check me out.
Driving past horses.
Went
on my
to Costco
home.
Yesterday.
Ooh.
Costco Simi Valley.
Let me tell you something.
With my old timer neighbor. He drove me past Spahn Ranch. That was pretty funny.
Oh, Manson's Ranch?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's not there anymore, but he drove me to where it was.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. But and I get to go back to the Arctic.
All right, I got some questions from my
script. Oh, yeah, let's get serious because we've got to be serious.
Was it tough growing up Korean? How was your experience on Mad TV? Oh, fuck. This is Bobby Lee's script. I brought the wrong script. Shit.
I auditioned to be on Mad TV.
Did you?
Did you?
No.
You were the
I wasn't right.
You were the cool kid writer, producer.
No, I was
remember
just a
being
road
very
impressed.
Yeah, and you were on the road too.
Yeah.
But I was always like impressed with you. Like, oh, he's like a boss.
Really?
Yeah. Because you were writing and producing, and that was, you know, I was so out of my mind. I mean, I still am to a certain extent, but that I couldn't. I was like, how do you, like, people would be writing a sketch packet. Like, I just didn't know how to deal with my mind.
Right.
Or socially, I had so much to iron out that I couldn't sit down and write.
Yeah.
It was not happening.
It is a weird thing, you know.
I'm much better now, closer now.
Well, you've written and produced stand-up specials and a one-woman show, multiple one-woman shows.
Yeah.
You did. I want to ask you about Edinburgh because that's coming up this summer, and it's something that.
Are you going to go?
I don't think I can do it. Like, I don't think.
No.
It sounds like an awful experience. You have to go
terrible.
For a month.
It's terrible.
And you have to promote your show
it's
every
terrible.
Night, and you're competing with 100 other shows.
It's terrible.
Oh.
Okay, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you're talking about it or why you're thinking about it. Also, they don't like, especially because I went in with some credits or some notoriety, and they're just like, why are you coming to Edinburgh? Like, that's the implied energy is like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Because they like for you to do it 5-6 times before you kind of prove that you are the real deal.
Right.
And they're really putting you on this critique level of,
So you're starting off already judged.
Yeah.
And marginalized.
Like, I may have had a better time because I've heard of a lot of people doing the bar shows, the pass a hat shows, where you can just do sets. Would have been better than trying to do an official show and get an audience every night. And people just leave, you know, because they're going to another show because it's a festival.
So how many people would you have in a crowd? Just like
I mean, sometimes it would
people?
Be full. Yeah. I did really well considering. Uh-huh. I was never less than half full, which is more than on the road for stand-up. So in that respect, it's kind of amazing that I was able to fill it every night like that. At all.
Yeah.
But some shows would be bad, like just energetically, you know, and some shows people would leave midway through. Some shows were great, but it's.
And it's a month. So
it's
if
a
it's,
month. It's
I mean,
relentless.
I do three nights in a club. I'm ready to get the fuck out of it.
Yes. And now at this point in my life, like maybe if I would have went in my 20s, but even then, it's just hard. You have to be a certain kind of person. You know, and looking back on my life, I definitely was that person if someone else was leading the cause. Like if I had a friend who was like, oh, we're going to this club and then this place and then this show. But to seek it out, I just won't do it. I'll just hole up. Yeah. And so there's like bar shows and pass the hat shows. And then you stay out until 4 a.m. and you just do all these shows and you hang out. It's like, I don't want to do that now.
Yeah.
Maybe, again, when you're young and you've never maybe been out of the country or had that type of experience, it is incredible that there's so much.
And there's not a lot of money in it, right?
No. Absolutely not.
It's not like North of North where you're making serious money.
Oh, I am.
Has money come down over the years? Like,
has money come down?
Like, are your quotes lower than they used to be?
What kind of question is that?
Well, I just hear like I have a
does
friend.
Does money come down?
Well,
I thought you were saying like residuals at first.
No,
like,
no.
Do you get
I mean,
less
like people
for your one episode of King of Queens? Yeah, that does come down after a while. They're not paying as much as they
They're
were
not,
in
right?
the 90s.
Yeah.
But I will make more on those network shows than other things, than like 24, for example.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
No residuals.
Yeah.
They're selling that the world over.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would have been pretty sweet.
No, I mean, I'm happy to be working. Like, the fact that this show is so special. It's one of those things that I didn't think would happen, and I'm just like, it's
and
a
it's
dream.
Amazing that this soon on they picked up season two.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that I'm proud to be a part of, you know. And I was wishing for this. I was like, can I before the end of my career, it would be so nice to play something where I'm a real character in a world that I can have fun. That's like a show, like a real show, because for so many years, for at least a decade, and I'm doing really well. I'm very lucky, but it's so many like guest roles and you show up and you're new to the, you know, you're on for a couple episodes and then you're gone. So you got to meet everybody and then you leave and you're on the hustle for that. And I just thought, I just want to have another go at it.
And also, you know, like our career is tough because most people change careers. I don't know now, but in the past, you know, three times you get a new job. We get a new one every week.
Yeah.
We're in St. Louis and then we're auditioning for a fucking pilot. And then, you know, it's like you're constantly, you got an agent sending out your resume and you're grind. Like talk about like for a guest episode, typically, how much auditioning is involved on your part?
Well, it depends. I mean, I do have every once in a blue moon, I will get an offer, but a lot of times it'll be like, oh, we are definitely not offering it because it's so competitive, even for guest stars. So you can do, I don't know, it's different nowadays because it's like a tape and then you don't know if they've watched your tape. And a lot of times you'll just hear nothing.
Yeah.
You won't even hear, thank you for sending your tape in. Mm-hmm. It's just... okay. And then, you know, I've done Zoom meetings with directors that are auditions and talks.
Uh-huh.
The one I got was for this Christmas movie. There's a story on stage where I talk about dating a white supremacist. That's a whole other thing. But I had told him about a movie where Ludacris and then Lil Rel play Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And Ludacris is like the Scrooge character. But, and because he would get into these rants, this guy was dating, and he's like, why would there be a black Santa? And I had forgot that I, and I was like, where is this coming from? And I'm like, why wouldn't there be? I go, you're saying that because you're white. No, Santa's white. I'm like, Santa's not real. Like, why, where? But he just, what would you do if I bought you a gun? I'm like, well, I would prefer Tiffany's, but I guess if you feel like you have to buy me a gun, but... But when it started, I was like, oh, I just thought he was like a conspiracy. That's the problem.
Well, of course Santa's black. I mean, he's got a posse. He only works one day a year.
He's a pimp.
Yeah.
You work for me. But what was my point in saying that? The audition with that, it was only because I played the bumbling bad guy that's trying to bring Santa down.
Yeah.
And, you know, in life, you're like, okay, it's a Christmas movie. It's not like I'm against it, but there are certain things where you're like, they're going to have a type in mind. Like there's nothing I can do to like win it over. So that in this case, it worked to my benefit.
Right.
Because I got on the Zoom and I was just really sarcastic and like fucking around. And because of the director was cool and funny, we kind of like had a meeting of the minds and I got it from that. I would not recommend going into an audition and just fucking around and being sarcastic. But in that case, it worked for me because it made him laugh. And then I said like the two lines and he was very focused. And I appreciated that too, because a lot of directors don't do that.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, reading and he's looking and I'm just looking at him. He goes, is that it? And I laughed and I go, yeah, that's it. There's like two lines or so. And then he starts laughing. And then we just started messing around. And I did try to make the lines. I took a chance and like made them funnier, or just like did my, what I would do with it.
Right.
You know, like what riffs you would do.
Right.
Again, I don't recommend doing that necessarily.
Would you
recommend?
But
with something like that, I was like, let me go for it. And it paid off, you know?
Do you ever get friends asking you to meet with their child because they want to go into acting?
No, never.
Would you recommend that person go into acting, or would you try to talk them out of it?
Do you have like, you know, your kids are older now.
They're 24 and 21 and neither one wants to be an actor. But I do get asked by people, you know, like my nephew like wants to go into stand up, or my,
like
you know, my neighbor's
14
kid
or something.
No, they're like 18 to 25.
Oh, I have gotten asked that by like, oh, my, you know, my friend's daughter is coming to town in Hollywood. Will you meet with them and talk to them about
Do you find it hard to tell them to pursue their dream?
Yeah.
It's such a hard position to be put in, you know? I have nothing to say.
You know what,
though?
The people that
life.
I've talked to, now you're like refreshing my memory. I've probably talked to a half a dozen. I would say three, I just talk and they're not getting it, or they're just listening. The other three are already doing it and have little fucking attitudes, like, and I'm like, oh, you're going to be fine. And I would say those three are, I could tell, are comics, because they already are like, like doing sets, or they, you know, when you're like really young and you don't know better and you just think you're the shit. And I was like, oh, they're going to be fine, because they're going to do it regardless of what I say. They've written 5 minutes of material and they think they're like the greatest thing that's ever happened.
And that's the only way you're going to make it. It's not the only way, but that is the most consistent way, is just blind sort of egoism.
Yep.
And just like, just your mother loved you too much and told you everything you did was great.
Yep. And then the first three are the ones that are too nice, or they think, oh, and I'm, there was one guy who was so nice and so talented, and I was just hammering him, and I'm like, dude, you gotta, what do you want to be in? You need to call, you need to, you know, who was there. Sometimes kids think, well, okay, I'll just finish college in communication. It's almost like, well, I don't want to talk you out of being in college. That's always a good thing. But on the other hand, if this is what you want to do, that's, you're not going to get anywhere by trying to do everything right. You've got to like put yourself, you've got to be your own voice. You've got to be, you got to like coach the people, you know, sadly it's the people who are quiet, who can be really talented, that, that need to learn from the ones with the big ego. Like, you got to talk yourself up a little bit.
Yes. Well, you know what I like is, there's a woman that reminds me of a young Marilyn Rice Cake, and she is a friend of mine's daughter, a guy that I wrote with for on a couple different shows. And he's like, you know, really nice guy, but, you know, kind of mellow. And so his daughter, he's like, yeah, my daughter got on SNL. I'm like, what?
Got on SNL?
Yeah, she's on SNL right now.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and she's... Wickline, I can't remember her first name.
Oh yeah, I saw a couple of her like TikToks
Weekend Up,
or whatever.
Yeah, she's big on TikTok. And then
I think because I saw her and I was like, "What is this person? 19 years old?"
A little bit. She plays
she's
it really,
really smart.
Deadpan and very clever, but understated and quirky, and like you're realizing not everybody's going to get this, but the right people will get it a lot.
Yeah,
you know. So. But then I had a friend, Tom Wright, who's an actor, and he asked me to meet with his son who wanted to be a writer. And so I met him at a coffee shop, and he showed me a script, and it was mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad, but, you know, it was like a first step. You could tell, like, some kids, like, they think they vomit something out and they should be showing it to people. Like, no, you should rewrite the shit out of that before you show it to somebody. Have all your friends give you feedback. And so I ran, I was like, it was okay. And then I kind of said, you know, this is a hard business. I go, I'm going to be honest with you. It's like so hard to get hired somewhere. And, you know, and then, so then I saw my friend Tom a week later, and he's like, what the fuck did you tell my son? He doesn't want to do it anymore.
You're supposed to encourage him.
Victory. Victory.
Where did you, going back a couple seconds, I'm interviewing you now.
Yeah,
where did you learn how to like rewrite and rewrite?
Well, I was an English major in college. I wanted to be a novelist.
That's where it started.
Which is funny, because yesterday I wrote like 4 pages of kind of free flow Kerouac style thing about Venice Beach. And a part of me woke up that hadn't been alive in a while. Mm. And then I went back today, this morning, and I wrote more. And I'm really into it now. And I forgot the joy of writing. And the thing is it really is about letting it come out and knowing you're going to rewrite later. And that if you're trying to rewrite as you write, you'll never get it out.
Right.
And so I've come to think about rewriting as just as creative as the original writing, you know, because it's really fun to then read it and go, wow, look at you. You were on a roll here and this is fucking dead. Cut that out.
Right.
And you feel like you're taking, like, you know, ore and turning it into a mineral. You know, you're chopping and you're
buffing and that to me is great. I'm not good at the final polish. That's where I need somebody else to come in. But I'm really good at the first and second rounds of rewriting. And I really enjoy a lot of the writing jobs I've gotten over the years have been punch up jobs where like Crashing, I was there for 3 years and I would just be on set 18 hour days for like 4 months. And I loved it. I never got tired of doing it. I loved being, you know, standing behind the director and just throwing out lines and, you know, after work, going back, getting the script for the next day, punching it up. I love that. And that's why I think I could be a good teacher. But there's no money in teaching. Like, literally, you can't live off teaching money.
Well, yeah, if you, like, go to a public school.
No, I'm talking about being, like, a college, like, teaching screenwriting in college.
Well, what, you don't need the money.
I don't. I have so much money.
You have so look Jesus at your tracksuit.
I know. I got it for free.
You got that Penmar.
I have so much fucking money. It's literally like some of the banks that my money's in will call me and they'll be like, "We can't handle this.
Yeah.
It's not the FDIC will not allow us to keep this much at one branch." So I'll have to go there and they give me gold bricks.
Yeah.
And I'll have to bring it to another state.
The bricks.
The bricks of gold. And then
do you go visit your gold bricks?
Oh, yeah. I like to go, and I'll bring a different car each time. And that's the other thing is my lot.
Whatever happened to Trump and Musk when they went to go look at
the gold?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going to go to Fort Knox?
Yeah.
And look at the gold. We're going to go. Because they have so much extra time on their hands. They don't have anything else to do. They just are going to go on a field trip. They're going to hold hands.
What?
With a bunch of other oligarchs.
What is this world? They said that out loud. And then they did it.
And what were they going to do? Were they going to weigh the bricks? They go, "We don't think it's all there. So we're going to go check."
Ugh.
Oh, all right, Clouseau. Why don't you go investigate the gold bricks? Oh my God.
It's so disturbing.
Do you have any expensive jewelry?
No, I wish. My wedding ring, this probably was a harbinger.
Harbinger and an arbinger.
Is that the right word?
I don't know if it's harbinger or arbinger.
Arbinger? I've never even heard that word. That's why I went with harbinger.
Okay.
Mr. English professor.
What's
arbinger? I'm so mad at
now. What about the people like Norm MacDonald that say what, but they put the H first?
What?
He used to do that. I think it's a Canadian thing.
Oh.
What? Where?
Who?
No, who already does it?
I tried to add an extra.
Who? So what's the ring worth, the wedding ring?
I lost it in the ocean in Poipu in Kauai.
Are you serious?
But here's what's funny.
While you were still married?
Yes. I was so upset. But he didn't know that you're supposed to get an engagement ring and a wedding band.
Yeah.
So he just got the wedding band and I lost that in the ocean. I never had an engagement ring.
Oh.
I know. Maybe someday.
So you don't
maybe
have
in
like,
the afterlife.
Oh, come on. Let's get you married again. What happened to the Elvis impersonator?
Oh, I wish. He was so troubled.
Yes, but the sex was fantastic,
so
I bet.
You know, the sex was so good that I couldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
He was too good at it. Uh-huh. I was like, take it easy with the attention on. I'm used to being ignored. That's how I get
off. Right.
I find ways around to please myself.
You're basically.
I can't, when you're focused on me, that's very jarring.
Yeah.
He was really,
really
knew
engaged.
A lot of different things.
He did.
Yeah,
was
he's very
in Vegas.
Strong.
He's an
physically.
Elvis impersonator. That's right. He was a big guy, wasn't he?
No, he was just strong and agile, so like stamina.
Yeah,
strong.
Right.
And I don't even mean like just the sex; just lots of different physicality, and the and Yeah, switching it up.
Switching it up.
Keeping it going.
Right.
Who does that nowadays?
At this age, you don't want to be looked at during sex. You don't want positions where there's visual contact.
I do.
You do.
I do. Not that much though. Yeah. I want it like, okay. Like I just went to this healer who did like sound, but she was very matter of fact about it. And I was like, no, you got to bring me like, I'm speaking. You got to bring me the woo woo. That's what I want. Yeah. I want sex to have like a romance and an emotion to it. Yeah. I want you to look at me when you're having feelings.
Okay.
And then you look away because you're in your own thing. And then I want like a saga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in and out.
Trilogy.
Yeah. I want a trilogy.
Yeah.
In the lovemaking. I want a trilogy.
Yeah.
Is that so wrong?
No. And then you can play characters. I mean, a lot of people get into characters.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things.
Wow. But the intimacy. I like that. Even on a one-night stand, because this was a one-night stand originally, right?
This was a one-night stand, but he was very good. It was more intimate than most relationships I've had in my adult life.
Wow.
And he was hammered.
Because I was.
Yeah, I was like, no offense, but you've had like 13 drinks and you seem fine. And he goes, oh, I'm a highly functioning alcoholic. I was like, cool, because this is the most.
Were you worried he couldn't perform because of the amount of cocktails?
No.
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 Not with that energy.
He could perform.
Yeah.
It was, never seen anything like it, honestly.
How many nights was it?
One night.
That's it.
The first night we tried to meet up, but he came to see me and my show was sold out.
Nice.
Which was, it was pretty great.
That's a big dick move, yeah.
I didn't even know. That's me. Yeah. I'm like topping from the bottom. Uh-huh. I don't even know.
Yeah.
That's a new thing I'm exploring in my stand-up because I talk about the beginning of it, which I've already said, now I already said it on The Tonight Show, but I'm like, I'm a Jenna Fisher type, mild-mannered white woman who's like indecisive.
Yeah.
Like that's my type.
Right.
But the more I'm in relationships, I realize I'm just the boss. Like I'm always the boss.
Right.
But that's like, it's a joke, but it's also a real thing I'm exploring on stage where it's like, please take care of me.
Yeah.
I beg of you.
Yeah.
Somebody pay for me. Like, why am I paying for men?
Yeah.
And I'm like Hugh Hefner. I'm just like, here's 10 grand. Get the fuck out of here. But right. I want to be like soft and feminine.
But I feel like the roles you play.
And I go, yeah, you're Elvis. Like, come to my show. You're Elvis. And then he's like, oh, I couldn't get in. And I was like, oopsies. Guess
that's
I'm the
amazing.
Boss. Not really.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was. It was a big dick move. And I can't help myself.
I want to get more personal about your sex life in relation to this, but I don't want to say anything inappropriate, but like, do you dictate the order of orgasm?
No, not at all. That's the thing. Cause another thing I said on stage recently, there was a bunch of people like my age, our age in the audience, especially women. I have this line where, you know, when you say something and you're like, I can't believe I said that. And now I'm like, yeah, this is so true for me. I riffed it and I'm like, this shit is true. I said, I just found out sex was consensual 2 years ago. And this one night, I got this reaction because there were women of a certain age group. And I was like, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's our shit. When we were growing up, like, think about it. It was like, this is terrible. I don't want to be like.
But
we used to have fantasies of like, oh, I'm sleeping.
Right.
Like. Take me.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a rape fantasy, but it was normalized. Like, you know, when you hear songs or you hear stories, I mean, this shit is still happening of like men getting together with children and it's condoned. And I think that was the same thing with like, okay, yeah, this is an unsavory.
Well, no, but I will
but
say
that
this.
But that was true. I should feel weird that I'm committing it to a podcast. Because when I was at the live show, I was like saying to these ladies, I'm like, right? This was normal. We used to fantasize like, first of all, I'm making out with Luke Skywalker.
Uh-huh.
Second, I'm like sleeping and then like, what? Yeah, and then I'm like, someone's fucking me. Like that was like normal.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I developed a very like more passive during sex, but my thing in life is like, as time goes on, I'm like, oh, I'm the boss of everything. Maybe I need to learn how to bring that into the bedroom.
Well, I think it starts at a young age. Like I remember being like, 14 And I'm with this girl, Claire. And I grew up in New York, so we used to drink outside at night in the winter. You know, we'd get a case of beers and we'd make a fire and then we'd all hang out. We'd have a boom box and smoke some pot. And then if you had a girl or you met a girl, you'd slip off into the woods.
Yeah,
and so I went off into the woods with Claire. And, you know, for 14, she had really big tits. And so I remember, like, putting my hand up her shirt and not even undoing the bra, for God's sakes, just jamming my hand under this bra, which could not have been comfortable for her.
Yeah.
My hand is like 22 degrees.
Yeah.
And
I'm
grabbing. Yeah. I'm not caressing. I realize, like, I look back and I go, there was no joy for Claire in that situation.
Right.
That was 100% a 14-year-old boy trying to feel a tit.
That's right.
And even
and
like
you're probably scared, so you're like, oh, I'm just going to do it in one motion
because
you like feel stupid.
Yep.
Doing anything else, because that's the weird thing.
Not asking her.
I would imagine you weren't. Yeah, you weren't trying to be.
I was trying to get to second, and then even third base, like, was too insecure to like even take the belt off. Just jamming the hand down. And back then, you know, girls didn't shave, so you're pushing your way through pubic hair with your fingers.
Sure.
That's got a sting. And then fingering her, not looking for the clit. I didn't know what a clit
terrible.
Was. I
it's
wasn't
terrible.
Trying to pleasure her in the way.
It's terrible.
I just stick it in with my 22-degree finger while she pretends that this is good.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And it's all consensual, but I get what you're saying is it's not consensual. It's not consensual in the sense that we're communicating and on board about each other's needs.
Right, right. Or just maybe even warming up our fingers a little bit.
Maybe, actually, that feels amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, shocking.
Probably not.
Probably not.
No.
Maybe, like, on the ass, it would feel amazing.
Yeah. Maybe just freeze your finger. Put an ice pack on your finger. And then halfway through sex, slide the ice pack off. And
no,
then
not
right
in
the
ass.
Oh.
Just like a, that would, you know. Where would you could take the cold? I'm trying to keep
I took it a step further.
That's all right. You were like, good idea. It should be frozen so it can go in easier. And I'm thinking of somewhere that would be nicer.
Now
just
that
have
I've,
something cold. On
now
the, on
that
the
I've
ass
said
cheek,
it, there's no way you're not going to be trying that move in the future.
It
you're
sounds terrible.
Take a guy to bed, some Elvis impersonator.
Yeah, I'm going to do it to him. All
like,
the
why
things.
Why is there a cold compress on the
nightstand?
I'm
going to be like, Greg Fitzsimmons taught me how to be aggressive and be a man. You just shove your hand down there, right?
They call it a frozen fourth base.
That's called taking control of the situation. Here's what I want. Your dick hard now.
I want your dick hard and your finger cold. Let's go.
Why don't you put a bra on? You put a bra on for me. I want you to put on some tight panties. We'll see how that works for you.
Go ahead. Put your thumb in your mouth and put the cape on. Put the Elvis cape on. Now you start dressing all your future lovers as Elvis because that's your fetish now.
Yeah. I like that you remember that. That you're picking up right where we left off last time we talked. Because I remember last time I was on the pod, it had just happened.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been since
it happened that weekend. It just happened.
Yeah, because I remember I was like, oh, I don't even know if I should talk about this.
Oh, you were so excited.
Yeah, I was still in it.
Yeah.
I was still in it.
You were texting with him still. Or you were trying to text with him.
He didn't text me back.
He didn't text you back.
Rightfully so.
You were waiting for a text back from him.
Because at that time, I was like, I'll just go meet you in another city.
And I was like, Elvis has left the building,
Elvis
baby.
Has left the building. Yeah. He left, yeah. You remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, that was a fun time.
All right, listen, it's time for Fastballs with Fitz.
Yes, let's go.
The other thing I was telling you with Elvis is, because you were asking, I was asking if you have sex on the road a lot, and so that, after the Elvis story, and you said no, and I gave you some techniques, and I said that really... no, I think this was later. No, we were texting later, and I suggested that you sell merch and try to hook up with guys at the merch table.
Oh.
You know, like you could sell.
Sounds awful.
You could sell.
I can't believe men live like this. Like, I could see guys doing that with women.
Oh, guys totally do that.
But guys are gross.
Why is it gross to make love to a woman who just enjoyed your comedy?
No, women are great. Guys are gross.
Yeah.
Like, if you start from that basic premise.
I mean, I get
women
that.
Are going to be clean.
Yeah. I think about how impossible
maybe
it would be.
Maybe it would be easier with guys because guys are already want to have sex.
I only had a few years of being single and being on the road, and I did have sex with women on the road.
You
and
did?
Yeah. A lot of times it was a waitress.
Yeah, shove my ice cold fingers up their bra and grab their titty. Snapped a few bras. Bruised a couple pussies trying to get through the pubic hair. Yeah.
Hey, baby, why don't you go in the bathroom and freshen up? I'm going to the ice machine. I'll be right back.
How's this? You like a hand that's 30? I can't feel anything. Your hand is numb. Like, she can still feel it. Oh.
But, so I only had a few years of that, and then I met my beautiful wife. And so I don't know what it's like on the road, but then I was thinking recently how impossible it would be for me to have a one-night stand because there's so much preparation now for me to go to bed. I have to, like, floss as soon as I get back to the hotel room. So there'd be flossing. I have to take a piss. I got to put on my tooth guard.
Yeah, sexy.
And then I have this thing where I sleep wrong with my wrist, so I have to put my wrist guard on.
Oh, that's adorable.
I powder my balls.
It's like a little baby bird. He's got to straighten up his wrist.
There's a lot involved. I don't think I could. I do these back stretches before I get into bed. I mean, can you imagine a woman waiting for all of that? Just sitting in the corner?
Oh. I mean.
Listen.
I don't know.
Have to get into my.
I don't know.
Oh, did you like that text that I sent you of the Russian woman who looks like the absolute worst version of you?
No, I didn't like that.
Did that offend you?
No, it didn't offend me.
No.
You should go in the opposite direction.
I really feel like I wish we could. I'm going to hold it up to the camera.
No, I saw the what you were saying.
I know, but I want the audience to see it.
That she would be. She probably orders men around in bed.
Here.
For sure.
I'm going to hold it up to this camera here. Oh, yeah, there we go.
All right. Colder. Stick your ice cold finger in the camera. Oh, she doesn't brush the back of her hair either.
Like, we all have a version of ourselves. Like, how I see myself is way worse than the way the world sees me. Like, I do. Sorry, I was on a mic.
Yeah, but that's how you see me is way worse than the world sees me.
No, I wanted you to see how I think you see yourself.
That's, you know, your wife is a very patient woman.
She's patient.
I believe you, but there's also something rude about that.
Yeah.
But there's also something very sweet about that.
Yeah.
All
she is
once.
Patient.
I know.
Honey, wait here. I just got to hit the freezer real quick.
After I floss.
Did we talk about Jay Johnston on the show?
Dude, what? Is he like pardoned now?
There's a guy. You did Mr. Show with Bob and Dave back in the 70s. And Jay Johnston was a member of the cast, and I wrote with him on a TV show.
Oh, that's right.
On Cedric the Entertainer Presents.
Oh.
Nicest guy in the world.
Yep.
And he invaded the Capitol on January 6th and was put in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. I think he was imprisoned.
I think so, too.
I think he was
I don't know any
yes,
more than
was.
That. I don't know where, for how long.
And then, like, all those other monsters, they all got pardoned. Like, people that killed a police officer were pardoned. So Jay's loose now.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's up to.
He started a new improv team.
Did he?
Called the Sixers.
The Invaders.
He's a regular on Gutfeld now.
yeah, right. He's headlining the Capitol Theater.
He's doing
Seattle.
The correspondence dinner now. Replacing Amber Ruffin is Jay Johnston.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But just does physical comedy and it brings everybody together.
Right,
he's not critiquing anyone. He's just doing like pratfalls.
Yeah, and if he bombs, you know, the crowd just pardons him.
Yeah. Ew.
Ugh. Ugh. I got a bad taste in my mouth from that last joke. This is called Fastballs with Fitz.
Okay.
Tell me about your best female friendship.
Oh, this isn't a fastball.
It's a name. It couldn't be faster than that.
I don't want to talk to you about that.
All right, what's your best male friendship?
I don't have any friends.
That's not true.
No, that's not true. I don't...
Who's the woman you always bring to the comedy shows with you? Rachel? What's her name?
That was a... If I'm thinking of who you're thinking of, she... See, this is a bad example.
Okay.
Because she started as a fan, and then she worked as my assistant, and then we were friends, and then I had to let her go.
Let her go as a friend?
Yes.
So is there a point at which you considered her?
Because her something was connected to her bank account, because it was faster for her to do that than to text me and get information to help me with something.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not a fastball.
No, that's not a fastball.
I do have a lot of friends and a lot of close relationships, but it's not going to be a cute, like, oh, my best friend, we go to the
What about your thing. Ex-roommate, Sarah Silverman? Are you guys still friends?
I don't see her very often,
no.
But I love her when I see her. The last time I saw her was at, if you prompt me, I'll have lots of fun fastball anecdotes. The last time I saw her was at a benefit with a lot of the cast from Mr. Show. And I was doing, my whole set was about dating. And she came up to me afterwards, said nothing about the actual set, but she goes, Mary, you can't date. You got to move to where people are. You can't live out there and meet you. She was like genuinely concerned with like, if you want to meet someone, you can't live way out there.
Right,
you have to.
Right.
That was very sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't, maybe I should need to move back so I can see people.
Have coffee with people.
I know. See, I kept like not running, but like, I'm going to move here and everything's going to like make sense and be calm.
Yeah.
And it is. I have a very good life. But like, I feel like Sarah got a place in West Hollywood and just stayed there,
right.
Which was really smart.
Well, your
probably
son's
going
to probably go to
then.
College in a year, right?
Yeah. And then I'll be pretty freewheeling.
Did you buy that place out there?
I did.
Oh, well, then you're not going anywhere.
And I just decorated it. It's really pretty. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, have a party then. Invite a bunch of people out.
Do you think people will come out?
I'll come out.
You will?
It's hard because it's chat. It's I want to say, I don't want to say the town you're in, but it's far.
It's far.
Yeah.
I'll have to make it worth it. Like I'll make the party, you know.
Make it a theme.
Yeah. Make it a theme, or I'll have some food that you can't get.
Yeah.
That'll get people out there.
People love 80s parties.
80s parties, or I'll have some weird entertainment and then people will come out to see that. That would be fun.
It would be funny to get a really awful comedian to perform.
That would be fun, but then they would be humiliated.
Or not. I mean, they could revamp their career. Who's the worst person that ever opened for you? Like on the road, they like give you
a feature. These are not fastball questions.
Why'd you sound Puerto Rican just now?
Hey,
these are
Poppy.
Not fastball questions.
Yeah. Did you
Happy
see
Cinco de Mayo to you?
Did you see the Timothy Chalamet Bob Dylan
movie?
Did you love it so much?
I didn't love it so much. I liked it very much.
I loved it so much. I thought he was so fantastic.
Liked it very
and
much.
And I thought for a like biography, it really treaded in a fun way that kept me interested.
Yeah,
it
I like that they didn't try to cover his whole life. Biopics, you got to pick a couple points.
I thought
time.
They were conscious that it was a biopic and did it, and they did it in a really smart way.
Yes.
And I thought he was so good. And so was the actress that played Joan Baez.
Yes, she was great.
Bad opener. I have one in mind that would do like an AIDS joke, a dead baby joke, a Jerry Springer's joke, Jerry Springer, just all old references.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like racist or homophobic or talked about his wife. Oh, there was one guy who talked about abortion, but like his stance on it. And it's like, dude, how out of touch do you have to be? And you could tell he was this guy that no one ever said shit to. So that was actually pretty fun. Because the first 15 minutes of my set, okay, maybe not that long, but I just went
hard
at him. Yeah.
Oh, that's
just
good.
Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, I don't remember the specifics, but I just went through point by point. Like, and how you think we care about what women, like, oh, like he's rating women and how hot women are or not. I was like, wow. That was.
Can I read
you? You know, so then the worst opener becomes the best opener because that was actually really fun.
I read some comments about your new comedy special, which is called Road Gig, that you taped in Chicago.
I taped at Zany's one night, one chance only. I just got like a lighting pack and a sound pack.
800-pound gorilla did it with you.
Yeah, but I didn't. I self-produced.
Oh, they didn't shoot it.
Right.
Oh, God. It looks great.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's crisp, and I like the way it's shot dirty. You get the backs of the heads of people, so you get their reactions.
That was a deliberate choice, because my manager, she was like, well, tell the staff. And I was like, you know what? This is what it is.
Right.
We tried to, like, take down the Zanies, and it looked worse. So I was like, it's a road gig.
It's great. Zany should have paid you for that. Anyway, first comment in your comments, which were very good, was Chris Van Norman, 4524. He said, I
thought that was giving his phone number and he wants to go out with me. He's like, I got a couple of freezing cold hands for you.
My ass is cold. Here's his comment. I just want to go on record, colon wood. So that's.
It was that. I was making a joke that it was going to be that. And then as you started it, I hoped it would be something actually about the comedy or being funny. But just would fuck me. That's great. I'm really making good strides in life.
That
I could be attracted to somebody having nothing to do with the material or the show that I did. Thank you, Chris.
Chris Numbers. Van Norman.
Van. Thank you so much.
Who is your best gay friend?
Who was my best
who
gay?
Who is your best
who
gay friend?
Who is my
or
best
was.
Gay friend?
They don't have to be currently. I know you fire your friends sometimes.
My dog is pretty gay.
The Shih Tzu?
I don't have a Shih Tzu.
That's a very gay dog.
No, my dog's a golden mix, which you think wouldn't be.
No.
My cat died, which was my ex's cat.
Oh.
And I had taken the cat for granted because it was my ex's. And I also thought it was going to live twice as long as the dog.
Well, feeding him probably would have helped.
I thought they were cats and they just got it themselves. They just help themselves to things, knock stuff off. Well, if you can do that, oh, you're going to open the door? Then get your own shit. The cat died the morning after. I was mourning so hard because I didn't realize I saw the dog. That's my dog. And my first thought was, we don't really have anything in common. And I want to do I'm working on a joke that the cat's the gay best friend that just is always there, like, that I didn't realize would go in the bedroom 10 seconds, like, I checked it out. Everything's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, looks, are you going to wear that? And, like, goes in the bathroom. It's clean. I looked at, like, the toilet's ready for you. And in the morning, we had a whole language, like, the cat, and I see the dog, and I'm like, do you even listen to me?
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, do you have a hot dog? Like,
yeah, yeah.
The cat's, or there's the no dog's nuance. Just like the husband
yeah.
who's just like, can we get hot dogs now? It's like, can you... Can we?
Yeah, and the gay cat can kind of go do his own thing and not give a fuck about you for a little while, and then all of a sudden wants to be really close at brunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cat is brunch.
Yeah.
Is a nonstop. We had a whole language.
Yeah.
It's going back and forth, rubbing up again on the counter.
Yeah. Gay.
Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah, that was good.
There are two types of people in the world. Go.
These are not fastball questions to me. There are two types of people. I used to think people were inherently good. Mm-hmm. So now there are two types of people. The people that you think are good until you talk too long enough and you realize they're terrible.
Mm. Is that kind of like with me? Because I think you've always thought of me as a good person.
Yeah, now
I realize.
And then
I talked about the finger up the ass with the ice.
Exactly.
I feel like
this time, it's like I'm waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And then it's like, just show me the truth of who you are.
Right.
Show me how
gross
you are.
Show me a video of a Russian drunk woman.
And go, oh, this is the you. Like, I haven't talked to you in months. And that's how you reach out. You show me some...
I know, I randomly said that.
Overweight, ugly woman who doesn't brush the back of her hair, just like me. I'm all trying to angle, like, don't look at the back of my hair. And you're like, this is like you, right? Just how every woman wants to hear. You guys saw the video. This is you, right? Cool. Thanks, Greg. And how are you? How are your ice cold hands?
Finally, what is the last time you apologized?
To you about being late coming here.
Oh, that's right. But then I apologize to you for the studio being so far away. It's a great studio. And if you live in Hollywood, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. But if you're outside the Hollywood area, there's no direct highway to here. You kind of have to go around.
Do you think, like, be psychic. Look at me. Take a breath. Do a cactus.
Box
like,
breath.
When my son goes to college, now keep in mind, I'm going to be spending 3 months in the Arctic. Do you think I'll move to Hollywood? No, I'm not going to move. I just psychicked myself.
Maybe what you can do is... rent out your place for 3 months and feel it out.
I might do that.
Yeah.
My place is really nice.
Do you have
somebody who's really cool?
Do you have a room or a garage you can lock everything up in, like your valuables?
Well, I don't really have any valuables. But yeah, like my personable.
Personables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My personables. My papers. My set lists.
Your set lists. Cats are gay.
Lock that up. Important stuff.
All right, listen, go see the show. It's called North of North. It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It really is so good.
And it's got picked up for a second season. It's streaming right now on Netflix.
You should watch it with your family.
I am going to watch. I'm going to watch with my wife. I don't really watch much with my family.
That's
They're
true.
Off doing their own thing, but definitely with the wife. I watched the first episode. I thought it was great.
You did?
I was totally hooked in. Totally hooked
in. Did you really?
Yeah, the lead
awesome.
Actress is really very talented.
Yeah, she's
Has she
awesome.
Done much acting before?
She was in True Detective.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then one of the... Do you remember in True Detective when all the indigenous ladies who died and then they're all in that room like chanting and
yeah.
stuff? One of the women from there... is also in our show.
Okay.
And but anyway, the lead actress Anna Lamb in our show is from where
great.
We shot. She's
yeah.
awesome.
And you're awesome in it.
Thank you.
Also, the special's called Road Gig. You can catch that on YouTube. And that's
it. Look for my new bit called Greg's Icy, Icy Fist.
In the woods.
In the woods.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.